CliffCentral.com.
That's right, Anthea Garden is right here, the Money Shot, which takes place every morning at around about this time, where we get to find out all about what's happening with Anthea. So let's start up with a market update, shall we?
Okay, it's been a fantastic year, hasn't it? The market was up again on Friday. We were up about 0.5%, I think.
Excellent.
Overall, all indices, all the major indices anyway, were higher. Retailers, unbelievable. They were on fire on Friday. And this is after Truworths put out a trading update after market closed on Thursday evening. Truworths closed the day 8% higher. I mean, there were some others as well. You know, like even Mr. Price was up on the day. 4%, Woolworths 4%, Massmart over 5%. So really good. The surprise, though, is that these retailers were higher because Truworths update was a little bit shocking. They did increase sales by 21% for the half year, but this included the office shoe acquisition. So they bought the shoe store from the UK called Office,
yeah.
Which obviously will add to revenue. But if you take that out, if you strip out Office, sales growth was actually flat. So there was no sales growth.
Ooh.
And in fact, one of the things that is happening is that cash sales are also not coming through for Truworths. Which means that the consumers who have buying power are choosing to shop elsewhere. So they made sales on their credit, on their store cards, basically. So it's like a loyalty thing, you know, and you can get credit on your card. But if you had cash, you were choosing to shop somewhere else that was slightly cheaper. And Truworths is known for being slightly higher on price points than, say, your Mr. Price or your Foschini group.
Okay.
So that's what's the concern. I mean, this is a share that has come under a lot of pressure in the last year, I think. So, you know, in about April of last year, it was 111 Rand share. It's now 82 Rand share. And I know that at some stage it's going to have to turn around because it is a good store. They do make, you know, they've got good footprint. They do provide to general consumer. And the question, I guess, is when. It's when the economy turns, when the consumer doesn't feel like he's always under pressure. And there's a lot of talk all of a sudden about a rate hike in South Africa, which worries me a little bit. Because obviously now the US are going to raise interest rates.
What would happen if they do?
Yeah. Well, it just feels like the consumer's not ready for a rate hike yet, Gareth. And like the consumer's still under a lot of pressure. He just doesn't need to be paying more for his mortgage and his bank loans and his car loans and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm worried about.
Let's talk about Astral Foods.
Yeah, so there's also a lot of talk at the moment about the chicken industry in South Africa.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about it last night on TV.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, that we basically have to – where our market is flooded with all the horrible parts of the chicken that nobody else wants.
Cheap imports.
Yeah.
Subsidized
right.
Cheap imports, right?
Right, and then our own chicken industry is falling to pieces.
Absolutely, yes. So they don't get subsidized.
I would rather buy a chicken from someone who's growing it here.
Sure, but would you rather pay more or less?
At least you know it's a chicken. I'd rather pay more because you know it's a chicken. You don't know what that thing is that they put in a packet at the bottom of the freezer, unlabeled.
Oh.
Could be bits of dead people. You don't know.
Okay, I might never eat chicken again after this morning. Okay, so the
once it had a hoof.
Oh, God.
Chickens don't have hooves, do they?
Sometimes, apparently.
Yeah.
So the chicken industry is already under a lot of pressure because of these cheap imports. And Astral Foods was up 4% on Friday, but it was down like 5% the day before because they're in a municipality that hasn't paid its electricity. And the Astral Foods CEO was saying that they've paid their bills. They've paid everything. And just because the municipality hasn't paid Eskom, Eskom are now going to cut power to that municipality.
Oh.
And I mean, this is huge for Astral because they are dependent. You know, they work with livestock. So
sure.
They've got to feed, they've got to water, they've got a farm or a belt that runs 24 hours. And I think the electricity cuts are only 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. But even so, that's a significant amount of downtime for Astral Foods. So I'm surprised the share was up, but maybe they've come to some agreement with Eskom or the municipality.
Okay.
But it's a share that's struggling at the moment, I think, just even though it was up 4% on Friday.
All right.
Just because of that.
We discussed the ABSA situation. What about Moody's?
Yes, because you're referring to their fine, obviously, right? Uh-huh. So Moody's agreed on Saturday morning or Friday evening that they were going to pay a fine of $864 million for their role in the 2008 GFC, the Global Financial
Crisis. Good. Right.
Yes.
About time these ratings agencies got nailed for that.
Well, in 2015, Standard & Poor's did actually pay a fine or agreed to pay a fine of over $1 billion.
Yo.
So slightly different. Standard & Poor's are the bigger of the two, or three, whichever, credit rating agencies. And actually the Standard & Poor's one, the only reason they agreed to pay over $1 billion is because actually the fine was about, and it was a lawsuit. So the Justice Department didn't just say we're going to fine you. They actually filed an official lawsuit, and Standard & Poor's came back and said, okay, we'll pay, I don't know, $1.4 billion, whatever it is, dollars. And so now Moody's have done the same. They're saying, okay, we're going to pay a fine. And half of it will go to the Justice Department, and the other half will be divided up by the 21 states that had brought this lawsuit against them, including the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C.
Okay, but now how does a ratings agency make its money?
So that was the issue.
How do they have $1 billion to pay over in fines?
That was the problem in 2008, is because companies, banks pay them for ratings.
Okay. And then they gave nonsense ratings.
Yes. So what they did, and especially with the derivatives, the CDOs.
Subprime.
Yeah. What they would do is they would take all these loans, and some of them were AAA rated loans, and some of them were sub-investment. Some of them were really bad, like subprime,
junk,
as you call it. Junk. There we go. They'd put it all together. The banks would do this. They'd put it all together, parcel it nicely so it looks good, give it to Moody's or Standard & Poor's or Fitch, and say, now please rate us. Moody's or Standard & Poor's or Fitch would then rate it by the highest bond that was, or the credit that was in there, and almost forget about all the junk that was underlying. So they wouldn't give it a fair credit score, and that was where the problem came in. So basically, Moody's are paying because they didn't adhere to their own standards of ratings.
Good.
And you've got to wonder. So I always wonder, because you know this credit rating issue is coming up again for us.
Yes. No. I was just thinking, so few people went to jail for that whole thing.
Oh, yes.
People lost their houses, the economy crashed, everything went wrong. Nobody went to jail.
Yeah, definitely. And basically, the man in the street paid for the bank bailouts, right?
Yep.
So I think letting Lehman's fall, although it was very scary at the time, was probably not a bad thing, you know, just let it fail, let the bank fail.
Absolutely. All right, let's go. We've got a lot of other things to do.
Okay.
We've got some questions from our hashtag investors.
Yeah, we call them that.
That's right. We don't call them
listeners anymore.
I had two people ask me about this over the weekend, so I gave them your email address.
Right.
Okay, so let's look at one of these emails. Go for it.
So I got an email from a guy called Jean who says, so many questions, but let's start with, for the amount of money I am investing, am I choosing the right portfolio, basically using this as a savings fund for my family? So it's not about how much money you save. It's about what your risk profile is. And if you're saving for the long term and you're wanting to make a lot of money, then go for the aggressive. If you're saving more short term, then go for the conservative portfolios and anything in between, you know, either our balanced or our growth portfolios. The reason if you're saving short term is that the long term portfolios come with volatility. They do come, and we've had a great run. Really, the portfolios are doing really well. We've started off the year very well, but there is a chance that when you need your money next month, that the market could have turned. And so that's why I say go for the conservative portfolio, because it's got less. In fact, the conservative portfolio has got no equity in it. It's only got bonds which are paying yields above bank rate yields. But that's the idea. You know, we're trying to at least beat money in the bank or under the mattress in this conservative portfolio. And then he says, how long before I access my money again? So the great thing about this is that you can access your money whenever you want. So all the portfolios, one of the key things I've done is made sure they're all very liquid. And even though I say in the conservative portfolio, leave your money there for 6 months, or for the aggressive for a minimum of 3 years, you can actually, if you wanted to, you can access it tomorrow. And so the stock market is a T+3 settlement at the moment. So you go in, you sell some of whatever you're holding in your portfolio, or you sell your conservative portfolio. It'll sell it whatever the underlying is in proportion to what's in your portfolio. And in 3 days' time, you have your cash.
Okay. So there's no danger that it's going to be locked up forever.
Not at all. Not, no. In fact, that is fairly key.
Okay.
And then he wants to know, after I start investing, will I have sway over the products that the money gets used for? And the answer to that is no. I manage these portfolios. And I mean, that's the whole point of having four different portfolios, is that I'm holding your hand through it. So you can see what's in your portfolio, but when I make changes to the portfolio, it'll almost happen automatically. And I will decide where to buy and sell shares.
So you're not going in blind. You're not doing it on your own. You don't take the risk that you would ordinarily without an asset manager involved.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the benefit of having Anthea.
And without going through a financial advisor who will add an additional layer of fees to this product.
Yeah. What's the highest level of fees we do here?
1.25%.
Right. It's nothing. Exactly. So if you want to get involved, that's what you need to do. #invest. And you can find out more about that by going to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. If you want to email Anthea, I mean, she's got a lot to do, but she can still get to your emails. Invest@cartesian.co.za, right?
That's correct, yes. Thanks, Gareth.
Right, very good. Cliffcentral.com.